1000, and tonight we have numerous exciting things to talk about. I'm here with my co-host, Lurleen.
Hi, listeners. Now, the excitement for tonight's show is an ongoing listener call-in strip. And we can guarantee that your hosts will all be completely naked by the end of the show. We dressed, of course, quite respectably.
Interesting. So this is just one of the many exciting things we're offering in the new season of Sex Talk. More sex, more excitement, more thrills for our listeners, and more education and more more helpful listener, more community breakthroughs.
Right, that's why we want to hear from you tonight. We're offering advice on all of your sex problems. No problem is too small or too big for your hosts here at Sex Talk.
You know what I thought was interesting, Lurleen, and Juan Pablo, who's just joined us in the studio. What I found was interesting, I just checked the Sex Talk mailbox, and normally we get, you know, 100 or 200 letters a week, but this week it was overflowing. There were literally 1,000 letters in there from our various listeners, and I picked some of the more interesting letters to read tonight. People are asking for advice. We've really struck a chord with America, and specifically with Pittsburgh itself. People really want to talk about these issues. So I think that's fascinating. I'm sorry, Juan Pablo. So I want to get out your pencils and be ready to write this number down. This is the Sex Talk Hotline, 621-WRCT and 268. WRCT.
Now, I'd like to remind our listeners that when you call in, you can specify any garment you'd like the host to remove. But just to get the ball rolling, we're going to take off our shoes right now. Let's go, guys.
Wow. Actually, I've been told that my feet are actually the sexiest part of my body.
No, there's a simultaneous undoing of shoelaces here.
Does this include socks?
No. Keep those socks on for now.
Okay.
But wriggle your toes there. And any listeners who want to join in with us, feel free to.
There's a problem with the suggestion. You're wearing a dress, but we're not. So if somebody specifies a dress, what do we do?
I guess the dress will go.
Okay.
So, Lurleen, earlier in your career before you came on Sex Talk, you were also a career and relationship therapist.
That's quite correct, yes.
And so you've actually had experience answering people's questions and mail.
Right, I like to think that I can give helpful contributions, yes. So would you like to share with us one of the letters we've received?
Well, maybe we should just start out with a letter. I'll have Juan Pablo read one of these, I think, because...
Yeah, I haven't seen them yet. There were so many. I've just been avoiding the whole mail spool.
Well, that's why we've got to take it on tonight.
Why don't you read this one?
Okay, dear Sex Talk, I am a senior in college. I have been going steady with my girlfriend even since we met in the middle of the freshman year. She's a really special person, but lately I'm finding our love life to be kind of stale. I find myself looking at a lot of other girls on campus and wondering what it would be like to be with them. I even had a one-night stand with this girl after a party. I'm very ashamed to be lying to my girlfriend, but I'm not really sorry I had sex with someone else because, well, I really enjoyed it. What should I do?
Okay, now that's a difficult issue that this listener's asking us about. And I think, obviously, the first thing we have to address is that do we have a name?
It's an anonymous
male listener or female listener?
Well, it's probably male because it sounds heterosexual and he's talking about a girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing we can take note is that he is unhappy with his sex life. He hasn't talked about whether he's disgusted with his girlfriend. Has he there?
Disgusted?
Well, he's finding sex kind of stale.
Right. But he hasn't suggested to her, for example, that they spice things up a little bit. I mean, there's a sort of whole slew of classic techniques for adding interest to your sex life.
I'm going to ask you what some of these techniques are, but I'm going to warn you that I think I already disagree with you. I think there is a fundamental male drive for the novel I've heard advice like this before, and people say, well, you know, have an affair with your wife, and I just think that's so foolish. Like, I don't think so. I mean, the whole point of having an affair is with somebody new and different.
But that's the point of spicing things up. It might not be as novel as somebody completely new, but you can, assuming that you have some reason to stay together,
right?
Some novelty into your life.
I think the decision people have to come to sometimes is whether they value stability or spice more, and that's, it's not even just in sex where that sort of decision, I'm sorry, I'm playing with the walls here, but that sort of decision has to come up in all sorts of areas of our lives.
Well, so, why can't you have stability and spice?
Right, there's polyamorous relationships. Is that what
right,
you're talking
about? You get from your wife or your partner, you get, you know, all of the homemaking, the whatever, the child rearing, the house cleaning, whatever, you know.
The child rear ending?
No, nothing like that. But, I mean, so, you know, I can imagine getting a lot of other services and other useful things from your married partner and then going out into the...
That's tricky because you've established a routine and you have to pretend. If you try to make sex spicy, you have to pretend that it's somebody you don't know, somebody who will have surprising reactions.
Well, I know that's exactly what I'm claiming, is just go ahead and have sex with somebody, like, completely foreign.
I think the reason, the very reason this is a problem for people is because the people like to know they can count on someone's time, and if you're going outside the relationship to have sex with other people, then where you're going to be is not predictable. They can't expect you home for dinner, and they sort of have this sense of which you're not fully committed to them. So I think just the fact that it's a problem, you know, being a problem for people for many, many years suggests that it's sort of something inherent in personalities, I think.
Yeah.
That it doesn't work combining that spice and stability.
How can you go from talking about how much the laundry costed today to pretending to be strangers in bed? It's difficult.
So what are the techniques for married women, married people, to find, to rediscover the spark in their sex lives?
Right, well, let's see. So
is this sort of the open the door, wrapped up in saran wrap kind of thing?
This is just to answer this one. I mean, to go through the whole variety of those would, I think, take us a whole show, so I'm not sure whether we want to go into all of the possibilities, but I think just that this particular listener should think about that trade-off, perhaps. But anyway, things you can suggest, classic things include any changes in your routine, changing where you have sex, changing the time of day you have sex, changing what you wear, changing the way you talk, and actually I think that may be one way in which role-playing is pretty popular.
Well, so what do you do if, and I know couples like this, you have married couples who are in a family, have all kinds of commitments, and basically love each other, but one partner is much more interested in sex than the other, you know.
We've got a call up.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, we're fantastic.
Doing fine, thank
good.
You.
So, you all have no shoes on? Is that
That's
what
right.
I
That's right. And one of our DJs has gone ahead and taken off an extra sock, and a very nice footy has there, too.
I'm sorry, can you
There's also one sock off.
Oh, just one sock?
Yes.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you guys are taking your clothes off,
mm-hmm.
What about your production staff?
Well, they're not looking at it directly now, but...
Could you have them take their clothes off, too?
Well, sure. I think we have to give them the option of either leaving or contributing to the strip.
All right.
We cannot have them.
How many production staff do you have?
Well, right now there are several million in there.
Oh, really?
I don't know why there are so many.
Oh, do they all have WRCT hats on?
No, there's not a hat among them. They've taken their hats off.
Oh, wow.
Already.
I think that's very sexy.
Okay, I'll just go to the window and see if they're wearing their shoes. Hold on.
All right.
Right. So,
Yeah. How's the show going?
So they're taking off their shoes, so they're with us.
They're with us. So if you'd like to specify some extra
garment.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go in the order from inside out. Is that it? I mean, outside in.
It has to be mathematically possible. That's the only
topologically correct.
Well, how about just having them take their pants off?
Okay.
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 That's only the production staff.
Yeah.
Okay. Producers, please?
What?
I'm just trying to get their attention. They have all million of them have disappeared now.
All right. That's cool.
Are you a friend with one of the production staff?
Not really.
Okay.
Not anymore.
No.
And do you have a problem at all that you'd like us to address?
Oh, no, no. I'm just calling to spice up the show.
So you're entirely happy with your sex life, then?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That is not possible.
Why isn't that possible?
To be entirely happy with your sex life.
Well, I'm happy with it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Are you with a partner right now?
Well,
or you
I guess you can say that.
Well, I don't know. Are you with more than one partner?
Well, maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is this part of an overlap, or is this a habit of yours?
It's an overlap period for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Do the partners know about each other?
Not quite.
Okay, so we're going to be a bit delicate here now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I'm happy with it.
Have you enough time for both of them?
Yeah, I have time for all of them.
All of them?
There's multivariate overlap.
Yeah. Well, my roommate has to use the phone now. I have to go. Nice talking to you guys.
It's been very nice indeed.
All right, you have a nice evening.
Thank you. Mm-hmm,
bye-bye.
Well, that was a very exciting call.
Indeed, I'm reminded, just this is a little bit of a tangent, but I'm reminded of terminology I just learned of being Lucky Pierre. I don't know if you've heard
that. No, I've never heard that.
Lucky Pierre.
Sounds very European, though. What is it?
It must be a French lover.
So playing the role of Lucky Pierre, I think, is being sandwiched. I don't know if this is just a homosexual thing or not.
In time or space?
It's being sandwiched between two men in space so that the man behind you is inserting his penis into your anus, and meanwhile you're inserting your penis into the next person's anus. And so you're being both penetrated and penetrating simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And
Luck appears the one in the middle.
Right. If you set up the right kind of standing wave, it can be actually very stimulating for all parties.
I presume you could also have a circle giving enough people.
Right. You could actually close the chain given that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I thought that was called the daisy chain when you have a circle. Is that
Well, it could be.
That seems like reasonable.
Daisy sounds so innocent, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures, but I never thought it possible in real life also of, maybe somebody
photographs
has experienced
or sketches,
it.
Then?
Pardon me?
Photographs or sketches?
No, photographs of something different. Right. I haven't said what yet. But maybe somebody has experience and can call and suggest another piece of clothing to take off as well as tell us about it. A woman being penetrated both anally and, what is the other one?
Vaginally. Oh, that happens all the
same
time.
It happens all the time. I cannot imagine.
Well, because you only have one penis. You need another man.
Well, of course, but even if it's just the mechanics of how do both men position themselves, that's also already hard to believe. And then how much room is there inside? There isn't that much room.
Well, I'm fascinated. Actually, our previous week's guest actually said that he did this very thing. One of his first stories was he and another gentleman inserted themselves. And actually, I don't quite understand the position myself. I think though, if the two men are lying on their backs and they sort of cross legs like this, sort of
So positions I've heard of involve having one man lying on his back, then the woman on top of him, and she's having vaginal sex with him, and then the other man, she's also bending forward, and then the other man comes in from behind.
That was the
Does that make topological
that
sense?
Last week.
Right.
And the second man is kneeling or somehow.
Kneeling or standing or depending. Yeah.
So other than the
he's certainly not standing.
Well, if they're on a bed and he's off the side of the bed, for example.
So other than the pleasure of the acrobatic achievement, is there any different experience with this? Did you get anything last week?
Well. So I think the woman, if she's into that kind of thing, can find it profoundly pleasurable.
I wonder if the two penises of the two men actually get to stimulate each other through the wall.
Right. Well, I asked our guest whether he had any homosexual feelings, and he claimed not to. But
I have heard that the two
new arrivals, remove your
Luke.
Shoes.
Oh yeah,
Luke and Mary.
Luke and
Catherine.
I'm sorry. Yes. Reminded me of Mary. Oh, naked feet. We have naked feet. Ooh, we have six naked feet on the show, just to let our listeners know. And this is only the beginning. So if you'd like to call in to 268-WRCT.
Or 621-WRCT, suggest a piece of clothing. It's wiser to start from the outside, but we'll take anything. The producing staff is also available for this.
So you were saying?
That I've heard that it is possible from for the two penises to feel each other, but much of that comes from porn stories, which aren't necessarily to be trusted.
Oh, those are my Bible, actually. Trust them implicitly. Yeah, well, anyway, I never found that very interesting, other than the pictures are completely interesting. They're just, you can't tell which limb is, whose limb is what, and it's just...
There are limbs to be seen.
It's a rather abstract art, in fact. Mm. But sexually, I don't find it very appealing.
So, actually, one thing I wanted to talk about tonight, I just wanted to refer back to a show we had a few weeks ago. Our listeners may recall we had a caller tell us about defying her doctor's orders and having sex a mere 2 weeks after giving birth to a baby. Now, since then, there's actually been some news come out in which two British women died after having sex too soon after delivering a baby.
How did they die?
They died? Well, let's just see here.
Probably an infection.
No, apparently it wasn't an infection. Hmm. They had air bubbles in the major vessels of the heart, brain, and other organs. So it seems like the uterine lining, being a little detached through the process of giving birth, allows sex to cause air to be forced up into the body. And
I had not heard of that.
Right. So
yeah.
So
I have heard that it is dangerous to blow into the vagina because
particularly
that may introduce embolism.
Is this right after birth or in general?
In general is what I've heard.
Yes. So here we have, during sex, air is forced into the uterus and can enter the bloodstream through these raw vessels. This can lead to air embolism or bubbles in the circulatory system that can kill instantly. So, just a caution.
This must be very rare, right?
Very rare. And in fact, the chance of a woman dying this way is slight. Of 20 million pregnancies between 1967 and 1993 in the United Kingdom, there were 18 deaths due to air embolism. So, this is so rare, they stand a greater chance of falling under a bus.
Wow. I also heard that a lot of women don't feel like having sex right after pregnancy, right?
Well, what I was going to say is, how many of us really would want to have sex just after giving birth? You're up about, once an hour, feeding baby. I don't know about any other women out there, but that would kill any desire.
Have you had a baby?
No, I haven't.
All right. Well,
I'm
we had
just going
yeah.
on.
So the reason this came up is we had a caller a few weeks ago who had a baby and who had sex during this apparently dangerous time.
But. Yes.
I just thought I'd caution our listeners, of our listeners who have just had babies and are in two minds about whether to have sex right now or not, you might want to take into account the fact that...
Yeah, despite the successful example that we had here a few weeks ago, maybe you should not follow that example blindly. Mm-hmm. Should be aware mm-hmm. of the risks and then maybe proceed after all.
In fact... While we were discussing this, we had a little caller call in. This was Samantha of Swigley. She didn't feel like talking on the air, but she did ask that we remove our socks. So any of us with socks still on?
That is the two of us.
Yeah, the two of us.
See, my socks.
I'm delicately rolling,
those are very nice socks.
Rolling down my socks. Yeah.
Reminds me of Pippi Langstrom. Mm. Have you ever see that show?
Yes, indeed.
Pippi Langstrom?
Yeah, this is long stocking. Yeah, this is a Swedish show or something that all of us.
I've heard it as long stocking. Why not Lang? What's Langstrom? Obviously,
it's
long
a Swedish for long stocking.
Okay, I understand. But so you experienced it in the original Swedish? This must. No, oh, this
I experienced it in Spanish in my
when you were
growing
getting
up.
Your operation in Sweden.
Yeah, that operation. That sure. What?
So, listeners, all of your hosts now have naked feet. We're rubbing our toes together.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning to get completely naked by the end of the show, but it's up to you to call in and tell us what garment to take off next.
This sounds like a pledge drive.
So, why don't we read some more mail? So, I found the one I read very interesting, very touching as well.
Well,
you know, he had a one-night stand, and he wasn't embarrassed or disgusted by that. He was just afraid to lie to his girlfriend. I find that very touching.
Is that? Well, yes, we should move on. I was going to say that our listeners are profoundly thoughtful and sensitive people. Never ceases to amaze me. Anyway, please.
I'll read the next letter then. Okay. Dear Sex Talk, I am 35 years old and I have never had sex with anyone. I think my sex drive is pretty normal because I masturbate, jack off, a lot. And I look at girls and think they're pretty. Sometimes I look at guys too, but not as much really. I think I like girls better. Anyway, I try to meet them and make friends, but it never really works out. They like to be my friend, but no one ever wants to go on to the next level of dating. What am I doing wrong?
Insufficient data.
Oh, it could be a problem with eagerness. Maybe, is it a he or a she?
I'm presuming a he because it's specific.
Well, because of the jacking off.
And
more likely to be a male, my guess.
Yeah, so he, maybe he's too eager.
If his
sexual desire is normal, maybe he's coming across as being too needy.
I would like to know. I certainly know a lot of people in my field who are not dating anyone, and they feel very abnormal about it. Like, you know, why can't they meet a girlfriend? Like, there's a lot of heterosexual men, and I think the number of single people is kind of underrepresented in our society. You get the impression that if you're not in a relationship, you're flawed.
We've got a caller. Maybe we can have this caller give you.
But it's not merely a relationship. It's not sex. It's a virgin. Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, let me turn my radio off and get the lag time.
Get your shoes off. Get your socks off. Get comfy.
Turn the lights off. Have a little glass of vodka in your hand. And let's start calling again. Hello.
I was listening to the show before in the car, so I wanted to call, but I couldn't because I was in my car, not the phone, obviously. But so you were talking about double penetration.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't know as far as, like, with two guys and a girl. But I know I've, before my girlfriend and I were having anal sex.
Yes.
And she put a vibrator vaginally.
Interesting.
And you can definitely feel through.
Oh, that sounds good.
Thank you.
And you could feel the vibration, or you could also feel the actual...
Definitely, yes.
And the texture?
Yeah, well, it was smooth, so I don't know about texture.
Wow, that's interesting. So I'm told that the wall or whatever between those two channels is pretty thin. Is that
I think so. Yeah.
Really true.
Seemed like it.
And so was it more of a plus for you or for her? Would you say?
I think both.
So have you repeated it?
Not yet. Not since then.
All right, but you plan to.
I'd like to.
Interesting.
Well, that gets rid of the topological problem and allows all the pleasure to remain.
Do you think it would have been as interesting if it had been the other way? Now, if you were penetrating her vaginally and you used the vibrator anally, do you think that would have...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But so, it was tight. I don't know how, like you see in some movies and the flicks, like two guys just going at it with one girl, and I don't know how they can do that. Because it was definitely a slow process.
Right.
Lots of lube.
Wow. Now you're making me quite aroused, actually. I'm embarrassed to admit.
Interesting. So I'm actually very interested if the caller can relate his girlfriend's feelings or if the other women around can talk about it. Do women enjoy anal penetration, or do they do it as some kind of favor for their male partner?
Well, I can't really say personally what she thinks, but she tells me she likes it.
Interesting.
I've heard that before, even though I've never done it myself.
But then again, I've talked to other people, other girls about it, and they've gone either way. They've tried it once, hurt like hell, or tried it and loved it.
And did you ask them about do you think that might be related to the sizes of their boyfriend's penis, or
I think it's probably... not so much size, but care taken.
Mm-hmm. So you describe yourself as a gentle lover, then?
Most of the time.
Well, it's good to have the variety for the spice, right?
Well, it's certainly a learned skill. It's not something that you can just, you know, jam your penis up there and pound away. I think.
So how do you learn it? Are there classes?
Well, actually, I think the best way to learn it is if you're lucky enough to be with a partner who you trust, you can just learn it slowly over a period of weeks, you know. But try a little bit of penetration and then back off if it gets uncomfortable, and the next day try a little bit more. And eventually you kind of figure out how to do it.
Is that how you approached it?
We talked about it. Mm-hmm. And then when we did, it was just a very slow process.
So slow, mm-hmm. How? You mean you sort of pushed in a little bit at a time, or?
Just relaxing, trust, using fingers first just for, mm-hmm. to get used to the idea, and then just very slow to...
So, forgive me, I'm totally ignorant on the subject. I'm imagining a penis. A penis becomes from being, the top becomes thick really fast.
Yes.
So it's hard to go slow. I'm probably the only one here who hasn't had anal sex, so...
I've not had anal sex.
Nor I.
So
just constant pressure, light pressure until it goes in.
Wow. And all I can imagine in this situation is pain. The sphincter, the anal sphincter, is a very strong muscle.
But nobody, she was relaxing or was she pushing out, do you know?
At first, no, and then she relaxed. And it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Does it hurt? You? The man?
No.
No.
That's interesting, because I've definitely heard men report it hurting them. And I think that must be in the cases when it was too tight or when she got nervous.
It's a very unique experience.
When I think about... Can you describe it for us, please? I am curious.
I didn't hear the question.
What's the feeling like, please?
Very localized, like I guess around the sphincter, right, the muscle right there is very tight.
And nothing else is pressured.
And you still have the feeling inside, but you have the very localized pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much goes in? That's the whole thing going?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
how much was it?
The whole thing, I guess. So I guess it's at the base where you're less sensitive, so that might actually help with the pain, I suppose. So all I can imagine when I think of this, and I think of this often, is that I have this irrational fear that the sphincter being so strong might just close and close and close and break off my penis.
I can see why that would be a concern.
I don't think that happens, though.
Well, it's just mere blood pressure against the sphincter. So how can I get over this?
I have not heard of
how
that
can I get
happening.
Over this fear? So that I can experience this new dimension.
Well, maybe some sort of precautionary penis girdle or protective cover.
Penis like titanium?
Some kind of speculum that you can make sure the anal sphincter was kept open.
Oh, but that would be inquisitorial in nature. I don't want to go to those extremes.
So this is actually interesting. This is sort of an interesting duel to the fear many men have that there are actually teeth inside the vagina that could...
Well, I've progressed past the Cro-Magnon stage, but I guess I'm still not there.
So, and articles of clothing?
Sorry?
Clothing?
Oh, yes.
Dress has got to go.
Excellent.
Well, there's more than one dress in the room there.
Interesting.
Da 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 da. Okay, producers, turn around. Oh yeah. Very nice panties.
This is the first time I've heard the show. Is this every week or when's the show on?
Well, you're one of the few people that don't know that it is every week, indeed.
Tuesday nights, 11 till 12.
Although the stripping is a special occasion.
But if it works well, we could repeat it.
Hey.
Very nice posture, Rosie, as well.
There's another dress in the room I'd just like to point out.
Oh, this is breaking our unity.
Right, now I think it's time...
So I'm now doubly motivated to try anal sex after you told me about your the dildo experience. I'd like to feel a dildo through the wall. Maybe that would be my next call.
All right, well, I'm going to get going.
Well,
thank you so much
for calling.
All right.
So the...
Bye.
I mean, I actually have the unique position of actually experiencing anal sex both as the provider and as the recipient. And so I'm actually a complete expert. I'm surprised you're not taking advantage of my unique expertise in the subject.
Well, I know your muscles are especially powerful, so your sphincter must be deadly.
So I actually work out all of my muscles at the gym in order to
And so, how do you practice the sphincter?
Well, as you know, the famous Kegel exercises,
right, which I'm practicing right now.
Sphincter. so you tighten the sphincter muscles by periodically relaxing and tightening this muscle, as if you are shutting off the flow of urine.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you ever managed to remove a penis with your sphincter?
Excuse me. Oh, to remove somebody else's penis.
No, I actually. I feel lucky when the penis is something that should be revered, not removed.
Never expelled.
That's my motto.
So how does that work? The sphincter only can press to concentrically. It cannot push outer end, can it?
I think it's a little bit of outward pressure.
I'm unexperienced.
To sort of open itself open. I think it's mostly.
It can open or close, but not push or pull.
My intuitive practical experience makes me think there's some push to it, surely.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're referring to the process of defecation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Oh, but that's pressure from above. I don't mean the hierarchical organizational structure.
My boss said, push.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, I have so many questions. I think I should just go to some field research instead.
So, anyway, but in answer, I mean, right, so you're right about sort of there being this rapid thickening of the penis and going slowly is actually difficult, but I think what you have to do is sort of what I suggested. Just, you know, when you're starting out, use plenty of lubricant, as Luke suggests, and then go in just a little bit, just the tiniest way, and then pull back out again and let your partner relax and see how that felt. And just repeat that slowly and with patience over time, and you'll find that every time you repeat this exercise, you can get in a little further and a little deeper, and it's a little bit more comfortable. Eventually, you do get to the point where you can do the total porn star move and just pound away completely comfortably. It takes time to get there.
But time, you're talking time within one session or time within a relationship?
No, time within a relationship, because in my own receptive period, it took me really a long time.
And what sort of time period?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm probably talking months before we got to sort of this porn star rapid plunging.
Mm-hmm. Rapid. Sounds like a toilet operation.
But are you talking about rapid plunging? Well, I mean, does that mean you could initiate rapidly?
Well,
or you still
initiate,
need to sort of start
definitely,
up?
There's still kind of this. You still have to go through the relaxation ritual, although that's pretty. I've abbreviated that quite a bit.
What sort of time do you take now? In the abbreviated relaxation ritual?
You know, 35 seconds. I mean, it's
hard to relax in a hurry, I suppose.
So right now, if somebody just jammed their fully erect penis into my anus, it would really hurt.
Uh-huh.
But
if
they were kind of pressing against the entrance, and I were meanwhile doing this unconscious kind of relaxation thing and slowly easing it in, it would be fine, and then I would be fully relaxed pretty soon.
And is that a Kegel-like relaxation?
That's the opposite, I suppose.
Well, yeah. So could you talk us through a relaxation ritual?
Well, it
only takes 35 seconds.
Yeah, do it.
So from what I understand, I can't really. I mean, it's actually a little bit unconscious. The exterior part of your sphincter muscle is controllable. I mean, you can, but there's some other interior part that stays tight that's not under such direct conscious control, and it's that thing that needs to relax in order for you to feel comfortable having something sort of big push in there. And I don't know how to describe it, but you just kind of, you know, with pressure against it and with you not being tense, and you just kind of like, you know, take a deep breath and sort of let it go in, it sort of magically relaxes on its own. It's
okay, so now I have
a very
question,
personal
actually.
Thing
so,
for you, though. DJ.
DJ Nudism 10,000.
Nudism 10,000.
Well, I'm not sure what you're getting at by that. I mean, sort of sex usually is fairly personal.
I agree. I guess I was getting at with folks saying, you know, talk us through this. It sounds like it's more of your own personal way.
Well, it just, you're right. It's sort of, the problem is it defies kind of vocabulary because you have to kind of experience and experience sort of the discomfort of doing it wrong and sort of figure out how to get past that. But there isn't, since it's not under direct conscious control, it's sort of hard to describe what you do.
Okay, but now I have a question. It's sort of indirectly related a little to these two penis discussion we had earlier. So I certainly know from experience, from putting my own fingers in my vagina, that sometimes if there's feces, then I can sort of feel it through the walls there.
Feces in your vagina?
I don't mean my rectum.
Okay.
The thin wall separating.
The thin wall, the thin wall factor. Now, yeah. So that means that it's right down there. Now, is that something you need to be to fix up, take care of, deal with? Anal sex?
Indeed. Obviously you haven't been listening to all of our shows carefully, but I've discussed this on a previous show.
Mm-hmm.
And the feces thing is kind of interesting. I mean, because, you know, a lot of people are interested in anal sex, but they're turned off by the idea of feces, sort of mm-hmm. understandably.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know I always was. And the thing that I used to do was this kind of very careful kind of anal cleansing beforehand involving kind of an enema douche type thing,
mm-hmm.
where I would,
mm-hmm.
you know, flush a lot of water up there and make sure it was all sort of squeaky clean. You know, and certainly, I don't know how to put this, but like, you know, you definitely don't want to have anal sex on your sort of loose days, right?
I mean, so olestra and anal sex on mix.
Yeah, that's not very well known. There should be a warning label on olestra products, but, you know,
you're
you want to be sort of
anal sex within 20 hours or something. Yeah.
But the thing that I think no one knows except me that I've found is that what really helps is either eating a high fiber diet or a fiber supplement like Metamucil. Because what happens is that there's this like fabulous, and fiber is good for you. I mean, you can also, you know, prolong your life and prevent cancer, but it also has this kind of cleansing property where you have these regular bowel movements and then your kind of rectum area is squeaky clean. What can I say? It's God's gift to the anal sex community.
Besides being good for cancer and other
right, exactly.
secondary
perfect,
things.
It's the perfect food supplement. And so since, I mean, this is literally true, since I eat these fiber supplements regularly, and I have absolutely no problem with cleanliness. I'm always, like, completely ready to go. Right now, for example. you could eat off of my colon. I mean, it's just that clean. It's fantastic. I recommend this highly.
I don't think we'll be trying.
Okay, now I'd just like to remind our listeners that we've got 15 minutes left to the end of the show, and we're still very clad. We need a caller every 5 minutes now just to bring
up numbers. The phone numbers are 621-9728 or 268-9728, and 9728 is WRCT on North American telephone sets.
Call in, let us know what garment you'd like us to remove, and we'll solve your sex problems for you.
At the same time.
So shall we return to this same letter that we didn't get to
really
deal
with?
Our 35-year-old single, probably man, who has friends but nothing more. What is he doing?
Did we deal with that?
We didn't really.
No,
we started
really
and then we got the call. So.
I see.
But DJ1 was saying maybe he's coming off as too eager, and that's very possible because the tone of the letter is that he'd really like to find someone to experiment with at the very least.
It's ironic, isn't it, that wanting mm-hmm. to find someone should be something which prevents you from finding someone.
Well, people don't want to take responsibility for anybody mm-hmm. else, so if you come across as needing them, in a sense, to accept them, you have to.
So perhaps the best advice we could give would be more taekwondo lessons.
Taekwondo or any kind of martial art to detach himself a little bit? Is
yeah,
that what you mean?
I mean,
or maybe a lot of alcohol?
Poetry reading groups.
Poetry reading groups.
What I was going to suggest is my advice to any single person is to find an activity you really enjoy doing and go do it.
Sex.
And, well... No, but get interested in something and build yourself up, and often that's when you meet someone else because you're not looking. It's one of the most bizarre features of our world.
But the
it
man
seems
is 35 years old and he hasn't had sex yet, so there's nothing that is going to repress that sexual
You know,
energy.
I'd almost say to this man that if perhaps the anxiety about having sex for the first time is the problem, maybe he should specifically pay to have sex as a way of just sort of eliminating that. And there are some very respectable methods these days. I know that there are people who operate under the job title of sex surrogate, and they sort of provide a, as it were, experience in sex, and they tend to meet with their clients possibly over a few dates, and the first time they meet is in an actual sort of date type situation in a coffee shop. They have coffee, they chat, they make small talk, and then after a few encounters they go on to having sex, but it's a business transaction, so he knows he's definitely going to get this one.
Mm-hmm.
And after that,
and he won't be insecure about the judgment of the
right,
person.
Right, he knows he won't be rejected. Mm-hmm.
How do you find a sex surrogate?
Well, I'm pretty sure they're advertised if you're in New York, in the Village Voice. In Pittsburgh, I don't know how you find them, but I have looked though. There are plenty of sex counseling services in the Yellow Pages in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure calling one of those.
Pectorals.
Now,
my God.
See that chest hair? Oh, are we commenting on? Yes, go Luke. Come on.
This lifts me. Hey, we have 10 minutes left.
10 minutes left.
And I don't have chest hair. I have a carpet.
The shirts are coming off. This is quite interesting. I'd almost like to call for a replay of those with a little sort of slower.
God, you ignited something in us, DJ.
I'm doing it all the time. It's amazing how sexually attractive I am to people in the world. Ever since I got on the radio, it's just enhanced my charisma 1,000%. It's so liberating. It's a burden, really.
1,750 megawatts of sexual charisma you've got, babe.
Well, this is very interesting. There's about approximately the same amount of clothed flesh as unclothed flesh in the studio, even as we speak. And if you'd like to call in and ask for the removal of any more garments, if you can find any more garments to be removed.
I'd also like to comment to this 35-year-old writer that part of my own development from a shy person to being surprised by how easy it was to have sex, was getting comfortable with my own sexuality, to be able to masturbate happily and talk about masturbation without particular the shame particularly shame that I'd had in my adolescence, and to be able to.
This isn't shame a key part of masturbation?
Adolescent masturbation, I think.
I've always thought of masturbation as an object of pride. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for interrupting you right in the middle of your.
Shame was very much tied in with masturbation for many years for me, and
lovely.
There are still tinges of that, but the more that I can overcome that, the more fun I have.
Yeah, it would probably be harder to overcome that at 35, though.
Well, another thing that's true with what DJ Luke was just saying is self-esteem is really hooked into our sexuality, as well as our dating and finding sexual
partners. That's no solution for this guy. I mean, you cannot tell somebody to improve their self-esteem. That doesn't do any good.
We need operational advice here.
See a sex surrogate. That's my
something to work at. There's a lot of different options out there, though.
Oh, I see that DJ Nudity is about to. No, I think you should remove that belt incredibly slowly. Take it off. Undo the buckle. Our DJ, what is his name? DJ 2000.
Nudism
10,000 is slowly removing his buckle.
So why don't you read another letter as a proxy
as you undo your zipper
for the collars that we're not getting.
There's a suggestively button in
those
pants
now.
Oh, what
a very slow unzipping! But maybe you should put the microphone close to the zipper so the listeners can actually hear that. Slowly, though. Okay. So, dear Sex Talk, during college, I was very close with a male friend of mine. I am also male. I consider myself
a homosexual writer.
I consider myself heterosexual.
Oh.
But I think there were definitely feelings between us. Down come the pants. We have been in touch over the years, and recently I told him that my feelings had grown stronger. To make a long story short, we eventually had a sexual encounter. While it was enjoyable at the time, I am now feeling sort of uncomfortable. He still wants to be friends, but I just can't be around him anymore. How can I get out of this?
How can I get out of this? What, are you looking at my penis?
Incredibly attractive doggy sort.
No.
I thought they were sudden for a second.
So the thing that bothers me, well, actually, I'm struck by this letter for a couple of reasons, because, as you know, I had a kind of similar experience to this letter. But the last line of this letter was, "How can I get out of this?" Not "How can I make it up to my friend?" or "How can we be friends again?" But "How can I escape this problem?" This writer wants to be liberated from this situation. Now, I want to know what's wrong with this person. Why does he want to get? Why has sex made him uncomfortable? This sexual act, which
drew make
him closer to his friend.
What is uncomfortable to him is the act of betraying his friend. Well, of stopping something he thinks his friend enjoys, something that might look like he's abandoning him.
Or perhaps, it's not clear to me from this letter whether the problem is in fact that the friend, he's still feeling these sexual feelings and that he may want to repeat them, but the friend doesn't want to, and so he may be uncomfortable being in that kind of situation. Being in a situation where he feels very strong sexual desire that it seems cannot be fulfilled.
I'm confused. Why can't it be?
Okay, so they've had, they had asexual encounter, a single, apparently, sexual encounter. It was enjoyable at the time. He is now feeling sort of uncomfortable. His friend, they still want to be friends, but I can't be around him anymore. Actually, I guess it's not entirely clear, but it may be.
It might be that the friend wants to be friends, but no more than that.
That was sort of my point.
The reading that I got, though, was that the friend wants to be friends, and the author is...
Well, I just got a note from our producer that Marianne of Munroville called in and asked that all remaining shirts be removed.
Remaining shirts?
Mm-hmm.
Which shirts are... Oh, yeah, there's one.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's a little bit of technique here.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Wow.
Sort of slowly and languorously. If I was standing up, you know, there'd be kind of a little delicate... gradual dropping of
it. That is quite sexy.
Mm.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Ah, yeah.
Marianne from the
Marianne, thank you.
So we're actually seeing both bare breasts at this point rather than...
Well, I see eight neither. Bare breasts.
Well, men, you know, the male breast is less sexualized than the female.
Oh, I think that Luke's breast is fairly sexualized.
Interesting.
There's a rather pert nipples there.
I find that my nipples are not terribly sexualized.
Is that an apology or a request?
A statement only. I'm sometimes curious about the idea of trying to alter that, but. But mostly I'm okay with that.
No. I'm sorry from time to time.
So it's true, like female nipples are much more sexually sensitive than males, right? I mean, you could have a nippular orgasm, for example.
Right, well, I think actually the sensitivity to nipple pressure does depend a lot on the experience people have had, and I think particularly after pregnancy, women's nipples become more sensitive.
Really?
So that's one thing.
After the breastfeeding deal?
I think pregnancy...
Just as they're about to breastfeed? Just as the child is starting to bite?
No, I think that pregnancy, and it may also be taking birth control pills, actually heightens the sensitivity of the nipples.
My nipples are pretty sensitive.
Have you been pregnant?
Very sensitive. I
haven't been pregnant yet. No.
I shudder to think of what will happen after I'm pregnant.
So we have one final letter. I think perhaps Luke hasn't read a letter yet. Neither of you have read a letter.
I would be happy to read a letter.
I'm going to remove the final barrier. I have to make a disclaimer. It's actually very cold in the studio.
Right, I was saying to bring a heater in. But I think there should be a little bit of ceremony to this. I'll do the calling if DJ Nudism 2000 will stand up.
Stand up.
Okay, stand up. Turn with your back to us. Okay, now what you have to do is no, turn with your back to us. That's right. Now wiggle around. That's right. Touch. Oh, it's beautiful. Look at that bottom wiggle. Now what you have to do is touch the sides. Touch the sides of your underpants, sort of implying that. Oh, very good stroke up and down those buttocks.
But it's a very light stroke.
Now put your finger underneath the elastic.
And comparing.
That's right. Down a little, just a little, so we can see the crack. Okay, now turn around to face us and wink. Okay. Sliding those hands down now.
Good. Inner thigh action in there with the hands. Light
oh,
touch.
That's nice.
Now
very nice.
We're
wiggling
both
down.
In full glory.
Okay, now put your hands over your front and turn around briefly. Turn. And wiggle. Okay, now back around. That's right. So we've got a sort of gradual revealing. And then now the down, they come down even further. Oh, look at that. What's this coyness now?
There was some moaning from the production booth, I don't know.
There is definitely a penile lengthening thing that happens when you're nervous or cold. There is definitely a penile lengthening thing that happens when you're nervous or cold. I just want you to know that.
Penile lengthening?
Well, shortening.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take note.
DJ Nathan 2000 looks just a little nervous.
That shortening effect many times myself.
Interesting. So did the letter get read?
No.
Oh.
Well, do we really have time?
Yes,
we
do. Go.
Hang on, we've got to just...
Dear Sex
Talk. There's no time for ceremony now.
I have been married for 7 years, and I love my wife very much. We have 2 small children. Although we still get along, my wife doesn't seem very interested in sex anymore. I think I am still as horny as ever. I've been having strange dreams lately. In my dreams, I am in a prison of some kind. One day, I try to escape. The escape is surprisingly easy, and I return to a normal life. I appear to be very happy, but one morning, I look down while I'm urinating, and I find that someone has cut off my genitals. I wake up screaming. What does my dream mean?
I wake up screaming. Is that what you said?
That is what this author has said.
Well, you know, we're laughing sort of nervously because of the...
Because of the nudity.
It's really painful and distressing dream to this person.
Oh, look, one of our final hosts is now removing...
You know, it's rather disgusting to be sitting on this couch.
In a state of complete nudity. But really, clearly the prison that they're referring to is obviously the prison of the marriage. I mean, he feels trapped in this marriage, imprisoned by the marriage. But
and what he really needs to do is have a liberating experience and come naked on a radio show.
Well, perhaps. I mean, he feels like he needs to escape the marriage. That's the escape from the prison. But his genitals being cut off, he feels if he divorces his wife, i.e. escapes from his wife, he will be emasculated. He will lose his essential.
Well, he does say that he loves his wife very much. Is that self-delusion?
It could be, or it could be one of those, like we were talking about earlier, he loves her as a friend, he loves many things about her, but he feels he needs something more out of life, perhaps another relationship, or...
Or just as unhappy about her reduced interest in sex.
That could well be. I think...
But there is some emasculation component to this. I mean, he's dreaming of having his genitals cut off. That's more than being dissatisfied.
Yes, that sounds like emasculation, yes.
Interesting. Yeah. I think... I believe we're out of time, and we've gotten new just in the nip of time.
Yeah. But we're all feeling very comfortable, very, very...
It's very natural.
Yeah.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh.
It's been a pleasure getting naked with you, listeners.
Thank you for calling in, and until next week at the same time, 11 o'clock Tuesday, thanks for listening.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.